1 hour to go. Nick Wilson, Spencer German on Afternoon Drive. Browns programming coming up in 1 hour's time. I actually mean it this time. We do have overtime with Jonathan Peterlin, with actually Jonathan Peterlin coming up tonight as well. Make sure to stay tuned to my boy JP. But right now, another one of my guys, Daryl Ryder, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland Schmier Jewelry Store. He now joins us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Daryl, hi. How you doing? What's up?
Good, guys. Good, guys. How are you?
So you're at the Cavaliers game. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, going to watch LeBron and Bronny tonight. See how they look together.
Do you expect a Bronny tribute video?
Yeah, there you go.
I don't know. I kind of feel like they've done enough tributes for now. And then I think they need to save the good stuff for when LeBron retires.
For, like,
but I'm
everybody?
Sure gonna be, no, I'm sure there's going to be some sort of, it wouldn't shock me if there is some sort of acknowledgement of LeBron's contribution to the 2016 Cavaliers.
Daryl, with this game tonight, it's one of these games that feels like it's an actual test for the Cavs. You know, first three games were a little bit softer schedule-wise. And then the next game was kind of the start of this tougher part of their schedule. How long or how deep into the season do you need to get to kind of feel like what the Cavs are showing you offensively is going to stick and this is kind of their identity?
I'd probably say first quarter of the season. So maybe, you know, through Christmas, the turn of the calendar in the new year. And Kenny Atkinson talked about before the game, still kind of feeling some stuff out on that end of the floor. He acknowledged that with the way things have worked, honestly, they've actually been able to cover up some mistakes that have been made. And that's obviously a credit to the guys on the floor. But, yeah, I kind of feel like I always like that quarter post. That's usually when I get a pretty good feel of what things are going to look like for the home stretch. But the early returns for these first four games, guys, nothing but positive for me. I really like what I've seen. I like the pace. I like the spacing. I like the usage of the core four. I think that if this is, if they're able to maintain this going forward, I think this is going to be a very fun basketball season for Cavaliers fans.
Daryl, looking to the Browns here today, Kevin Stefanski said that Jameis, his plan is Jameis is the starter going forward, but it's football. We're all day to day. Should I pay attention to the he's the starter or the couching of it?
I would say Kevin Stefanski's 10 quarterbacks deep, so he's not going to make any type of assumptions or put anything in stone, but the plan is that Jameis Winston will start from now until the end of the season. And then, hopefully, there aren't any issues with health and availability. So the plan, and I think that that's what Kevin was trying to get at. I don't necessarily, Nick, think he was trying to couch anything. I just think he was trying to leave a little wiggle room for what always seems to happen to the Cleveland Browns when they do have a quarterback plan. It always goes wrong and goes south for one reason or another. So the plan is that Jameis Winston is the starting quarterback for this football team until the end of the season.
Daryl, we talked last night, I know, about just DeJuan Jones and how well he played at the left tackle spot, which took some people by surprise. We had talked to Ross Tucker about it earlier, and he kind of said, listen, I wouldn't go back to Jet Wills. Like, I would see what DeJuan Jones has the rest of the year. Do you think with DeJuan playing as well as he did on Sunday, does this officially sort of mark the end of the Jet Wills experiment in your eyes?
Well, it's not much of an experiment. I mean, the guy was taken in the first round of the 2020 draft, and he's been here 5 years. I think the experiment's over. I think we know the results of the experiment at this point. So
it's called Afternoon Drive, baby.
I would stick with DeJuan at left tackle. I really liked what I saw from him. Look, I acknowledge I was hard on him early in the season. And the reason I was hard on him is because I watched him last year. I know what the guy's capable of doing. And quite frankly, the first five games at right tackle when he was filling in for Jack Conklin, he wasn't up to that standard. Thus, I was critical of him. But if he plays the way he did Sunday against the Ravens going forward, yeah, I think there's a conversation to be had that the Browns have their left tackle.
Daryl, does the game and the outcome of it on Sunday depend, or does the Browns and whether they're sellers or not depend on the outcome of this game on Sunday?
I think they're sellers no matter what, Nick. I think the outcome of the game Sunday depends on the size of the sale, if that makes sense, right? I see a scenario where they could trade Za'Darius Smith. We talked to Greg Newsome today in the locker room. Obviously, his name has been in trade rumors the last couple of years. His fifth-year option's picked up. He's under contract next year. I kind of don't like the idea of trading cornerbacks in a passing league. Some of these other guys that are on these one-year type of contracts, like a guy like Elijah Moore, if you can get something for him, based on what they've gotten from him since that trade with the Jets, I don't think I could really sit here and argue with you over that. So I think the outcome of Sunday's game will determine how much Andrew Berry tries to sell on Tuesday.
Given how the Joe Flacco experience went last year and then they didn't bring him back in the offseason, do you think the Cavs, do you think that the Browns would consider actually bringing Jameis back next year as the team's starting quarterback and maybe as like a bridge to a rookie or just to maybe even lead the group while they still try to maximize this window that they feel they have with a talented roster?
Well, I mean, if he plays well, I mean, that's obviously, the caveat, right? I mean, if he plays the way Joe Flacco did in the regular season, I'm emphasizing that. I know what happened in the playoff game. But if he plays like Joe Flacco did and the team responds to him the way the team responded to Joe Flacco, I think they have to. I don't think there's any, I realize dollars and cents and cap are involved. Deshaun's got him pretty much jammed up for the next couple of years here in both regards, and there's no escape hatch. But I absolutely would, if Jameis plays well the rest of the way, I would absolutely want to bring him back to be a bridge quarterback of some sort. I said this on the podcast that Andy Baskin and I recorded today. My initial thought is you do maybe a 2 or 3 year type contract with Jameis, front load cash, try and kick the cap number down the road as much as you can because your cap space is so pressure right now, but also to give yourself an eject button after next season in case, things don't go as well as you anticipate. So that's what I would do if I was in Andrew Berry's shoes.
Daryl, if I set the over-under for Bronny James tonight at a half a point, you taking the over or you taking the under?
Is he even going to play tonight? I'll throw you the over on that. I could see him getting a bucket here tonight. Sure, why not?
All right, so if I put it at 2.5.
Then I'm taking the under.
Daryl, excellent stuff, buddy. We know we're going to let you back to as you're covering the Cavs for us tonight. So we appreciate you, buddy. Great stuff as always.
Thanks, Daryl.
I just need to know, did Spencer get the security footage to find out who ate all those peeps yesterday?
Nick says it wasn't him.
No, why did you say it? Like, that's an accusation. All right? Listen, I am the man who owns things. I do not run away from it. So if there's a stench in the air because somebody broke wind, I'll say it was me. If I ate the peeps, I would have said it already.
Nick is proud of the diabetes, okay? And that's what I tried to explain to Spencer last night when he tried to put it on you, Nick. I had your back, Nick. Remember that.
I don't run from the beatus, mostly because I can't run. Daryl, be good, buddy.
Care, thanks, Daryl.
Daryl Ryder, brought to you by Scheibman Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store.
That is the next natural step, by the way.
What?
I have to get the security footage now. No. Well, yeah, that, but if I want to find out who actually ate the peep, we gotta get the security footage.
I think it's a big assumption that those cameras actually work.
Like one
I mean,
day,
I know these cameras work.
One day somebody's gonna call the bluff. And I'm like, I'm gonna get like pistol whipped outside the station, and they're gonna be like, "You got the security camera, right?" And they're like, "Well, we got the cameras, but we don't record. Like that takes a terabyte
like,
of information.
Can you just come back in the studio and hit me again so we can actually capture it on the cameras?" Here?
Yeah. Well, okay. What about the ones inside the actual Halley building itself? Those also do not work. You called our bluff. You get out of jail free card here. That being said, I'm a caller. I think I'm locking it in. Bronny's getting the first bucket tonight.
The first bucket?
Yeah, the first bucket in Cleveland.
Okay. You twisted it at the end. Okay, you weaseled your way out of it.
I totally forgot that he scored a bucket already. See, I own it.
But I meant more so, the way you worded it made it sound like the first bucket of the game. I was like, he's starting the game?
Oh, no, I meant he's going to get his first bucket.
Yeah, his first bucket is
crazy. He hasn't scored.
I thought he did score.
Ah!
Not in the regular season, no, he hasn't scored.
I thought he scored one at the end of that game.
Now I have to earn that apparently I'm a double-talking moron. But no, I'm calling it. He's going to get his first bucket in the NBA tonight, and it's going to be on his second shot because he won't make the first shot.
I hope that he goes up for his first bucket, and somebody like Tristan Thompson, who's close with LeBron, just like, does like a LeBron chase down style block and just swats the hell out of it.
Why don't you want Bronny to succeed?
It's not that I don't want to succeed. I just think it'd be really fun. Like it would be like one of those moments where it's like among friends, they joke about it. Like, I didn't let your son get that one. That was funny, huh? Like him and LeBron can laugh about it later.
I think you're a spiteful person.
No, I don't have. I think
you look like a nice person because you're clean cut over there.
I have nothing against Bronny. I have a lot against Ryan Day. I don't have anything against Bronny.
Everybody thinks I'm the a-hole here. I think you're the real a-hole at 92.3 The Fan. 216-474-0092.
Not an a-hole enough to say the T word, but.
Okay, some things stay on Sons of the Shoe. Okay, when we come back,
gone.
Do you guys actually want? Are you watching tonight, hoping you see Bronny tonight? I'll give my part on what could be a big missed opportunity here. 92.3 The Fan. I saw the funniest thing today. I want to get into the Cavs and Bronny James and all this. I do. We're gonna get to that in a second. I saw the funniest thing today, and I cannot get it out of my head, Spencer.
Funniest thing you've ever seen.
I don't know the funny. Okay, I set a high bar. Okay, slight hyperbole. It's 6:30. We've been on air for 4.5 hours. But I was driving in Wadsworth, and I was going because I have been a basic B. I have been really, really good about making sure to not overeat this week. But at least one.
That's why you said no to the peep. You were like, I can't do it.
I actually have kind of. So this weekend, there's some glaucoma medication. There was a lot of candy. We've taken a step back. It was not a good sitch. It wasn't great. We're doing better this week. But the one thing I have allowed myself is a foofy coffee drink from You Can Guess Where It's From. So I'm driving to get my foofy coffee drink before I head on the road to work. And there's, I look out of the corner of my eye, and there was like it's a guy on like a scooter, right? It wasn't like a little scooter. It was like one of the bigger scooters, but it was not a motorcycle. It was not. He probably
like
calls
it was like a moped.
Yeah. Okay. It was a motorized scooter. That's what that is. It's not a real
like a Vespa.
It was bigger than a Vespa.
Okay.
But it was not like even like the wimpy Hondas they have out there of like you know. Motorbikes, it wasn't that. It was a step below that.
Okay.
So it's of motorcycles, motorized vehicles, it is kind of the toughest sell of all of them. And so I looked and I was like, okay, I wouldn't do that, but I wouldn't look good on that. I would look freakish on that. Well, then as I approached him, I noticed he was about probably 55 or 60. Again, not a big deal, but he was wearing a helmet. And then I made my way down to his attire and he was wearing a suit. And I'm talking about like a full-blown three-piece suit with the tie, the vest. Like, this is a nice-ass suit. And he's riding what is essentially a Vespa in Wadsworth. Just right.
Is Wadsworth known for
like,
the Vespas?
I was like, I can't. What's going on here? Like, it did.
Do they have like the Bird app in Wadsworth, but it's like with Vespas instead of scooters, like they have downtown?
No. There's no Bird app. This dude was just vibing on his Vespa. His Vesp? I don't know how we shorten that. But in full regalia. And it took everything that I could because I was already running late today. And I was already, I had not called you back yet. We were in a hurry. If I had 5 minutes of time, I would have taken 30 minutes to pull off to the side of the road and ask that guy a million questions.
I wanted to know if you like followed to see where he was going. I want to know where he was going.
He went to the other foofy coffee joint where you can also get donuts. I'm not to give too much away, but he turned and I in my head, I thought, I need to know the story.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I want to know where, but so he was obviously just picking up like his morning coffee. I want to know like then where was he going after he got his coffee?
I don't know because
I'm assuming work, but where does he work?
That was the other part.
He's showing up on a Vespa in his three piece.
Because it wasn't the morning; it was 11:30.
Yeah, that's true. Late.
So
morning.
The only if you're okay, you're either on lunch, which is plausible, or you're either coming to or going from jail. Those are the two options, and also. That is not practical. Like he has to work like 5 minutes, like not even 5 minutes, 2 minutes down the road. There's if he has to get on 76, if he has to go the back roads to like
wind
even Barberton, there's no way in hell he's putting a suit on, rocking the Vespa. 216-474-0092. Have you seen this man? If you are a
are you this man? How about that? Maybe we'll get lucky and the guy actually listens to the station.
Yeah, if you are this man, or if you are related to this man, or if you know this man, or you know his story, there was a 50 to 60-year-old man, I'm going to open it up, 50 to 60-year-old man wearing a suit on a scooter going to Dunkin' today. And I would like to know everything. I don't have a question. I don't have two questions. I have all the questions.
Maybe he just got rid of his car, didn't need any more, sold it for however much money he could make, and he was like, you know, I'm gonna downsize and simplify things and just ride a Vespa every day.
Maybe this is because I'm going through one myself.
Midlife crisis?
This is like a three-quarters life crisis? Is that a thing? Like, is there something in between, like midlife crisis and three-quarters? Is it like the, you know, I don't even know, like five-eighths crisis?
I guess that's all relative to how long you live, you know?
Okay. All right. Now, getting back to the Cavaliers. I actually think people are totally wrong on the Bronny side of all this.
What do you mean?
I mean, it reminded me when Dave McMenamin kind of spoke up for Bronny, the human being. If he was in any other situation, we would root for Bronny James. We root for 55th picks in the draft. He had a massive health issue where it sure seems like he kind of almost died at USC. Like his story, he by the way, he wasn't one of the 10 biggest prospects in college basketball. He was a guy who was a big prospect, probably because of his name, but as a talent, like he has to work hard to get everything out of his skill set because he isn't 6'8" and 260 pounds like his dad. So like. And even now, he's a hometown kid returning. And it's because, like, Bronny did, for like half of his childhood, grow up here in Cleveland. He was born here. I heard what I said, Mac, you bastard. But no. Like,
wait, about how he also is probably part of the reason why they moved to L.A.?
No, that was just a meaningless shot that I took earlier. But, like, it's so weird that because people feel some sort of way about LeBron, it gets in the way of realizing that, like, Bronny's kind of existence right now in what he represents, if his name was Bronny Smith, he would be, oh my gosh, he's playing.
Granny Smith?
But no, I mean, I think we've missed the point on Bronny. Like, this is a really, like, I'll be honest with you, I'm kind of tuning in tonight to see if I'm going to see him. I think this is really, really cool.
Well, I think the reason this is must-see TV or, like, appointment television is more so centered around LeBron because... It kind of hit me the other night, Nick, like opening night of the season a week ago, that we only like, and it's a tentacle off the conversation we had earlier about whether or not this is his last game in Cleveland. Like, we only have so many games left with LeBron, if we really think about it. Like, he might retire at the end of next year, and so we have, you know, less than whatever 82 times 2 is. I'm not good with math. Like, plus maybe the playoffs. Like, to be able to witness LeBron's greatness for as long as we have. And be able to also like receive the benefits of it because he was here and helped us win a championship. That's a special thing. So I'm just tuning in general because, you know, whatever LeBron's doing at the tail end of his career at this point, I want to see it because I only have so many of these games left. But I do think like
I had a really thoughtful and articulate way of talking about Bronny that no one has. And you were like, and this is why I'm watching for LeBron tonight. I feel like continue to come back to it. I think you're part of the problem in media.
No. I enjoy the storyline of him and his son being together. I think it's a cool thing that they wanted to make this happen, or maybe at least LeBron wanted it to happen. And they've leaned into it, and they've gotten to do this sort of historic thing that nobody else has ever done, whether on the field together, or they're on the court together, they're on the same team. Like it's speaking that sort of goal for LeBron into existence. And so, yeah, like I don't have a problem with it at all. I understand why it rubbed some people the wrong way, that like a guy who probably wasn't ready for the NBA, you know, leaned on the nepotism factor to become be drafted by the Lakers and get to the league earlier. But it doesn't bother me so much as it bothers other people. I think it's a cool moment.
It's really wild. By the way, just speak to the nepotism thing. It's pretty wild that the only time we really have problems with nepotism is if it's LeBron James.
I
get we coined the whole term Nepo baby, and once we term something, it's really evil. That's not the kid's fault, by the way. Well, it's really not. And we make it the kid's fault, it's the parents.
Well, I do think too, I understand like nepotism generally is bad. So I'm not saying like we should be encouraging that, but I do understand, like, at the same time though, he's going to have to live as his own person at some point. But
do you realize how much that has to suck?
Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing. Like right now, everybody can throw out the nepotism thing and be like, well, he's only there because of his dad, and that's all fair. But like in 2 years, if LeBron retires, he's then got to try to sink or swim in the NBA, whether or not his dad's there or not. Like he might not ever get a second, some massive contract in this league if he doesn't develop the way that he hopes to develop. So he's going to sink or swim eventually, even if it's not right now. So I think if they're going to enjoy the moment together and something that's never been done before, I can live with that. I don't actually have a problem with it. I joke about like the tribute video for Bronny of just like shots of him as a kid, like watching his dad play. But like, yeah, I mean, it's nice, and because of how I think generally Cleveland fans feel about LeBron, it should be something that we get a chance to sort of bask in and celebrate tonight, that it's kind of this family reunion of sorts.
But I think that's what's interesting is, and I kind of want to be careful at how I talk about this, because I don't blame LeBron for doing it.
No. Any parent would try to do the best for their kid.
Like my dream, and I think I've talked about this before on the station, my dream was to have my dad on my show. I wanted to have a sports talk show. My dad, when I was young, had a sports talk show, then went into like the production side.
You're going to do a podcast with the twins at some point?
No, but maybe Livy. She's pretty smart. Smarter than me. Might make me look smarter. But like, that was like my dream. Now, in our case, when I got the night show, it was my hope that we could keep him around long enough to like be able to have him in at 11 o'clock at nights. And it just never happened. And so like, but that was a case where it would have been him attaching himself to me. That's different than like LeBron kind of orchestrated this. And in a way, I feel a lot of sympathy for Bronny because he's taking all this crap, because it's already like LeBron's shadow is already immense. I mean, unthinkable. Like, I was Jim Wilson's kid. So anywhere I go in Medina, it's, are you Goober's kid? And I've always loved that because my dad's shadow was one of love. And it didn't come with anything that, like, that I think maybe some of the complications that come with being LeBron's kid. So, like, I loved it. But I can imagine when that shadow is, I mean, global. Anywhere you go. By the way, you don't just have his name. You look like him. You're like you and your brother are like, you could be spitting image of your dad when they were that age.
And to be fair, like LeBron has said that he kind of regrets naming his son Bronny, like as like, you know, following in the footsteps of his name, just because he knew like the aura that was going to bring to the table.
And they still drafted him.
Yeah.
Well, so, I don't want to make it a criticism because I understand why LeBron did it. And it is so cool that you get to see LeBron and Bronny together. And if people want to be cynical about that, that's fine. There are so many things that are more worthy of being cynical in this world than a guy who has more power than anybody in the NBA, including Adam Silver, having his son drafted so he can play with him because he played 21 seasons in the NBA. But there is a cruelty here where Bronny will never, even if, here's the thing, even if Bronny goes on and becomes a really nice 10, 15-year player in the NBA, let's say he's six-man material, he makes $200 million of his own money, he's got but everyone's going to tie it back to, well, it's only because your dad gave you the chance. And by the way, not even more than that. Like, he's on the same team. Like, so now you're not just father and son, which is a complicated dynamic for any of us. You know, mother, daughter, father, son, any of that's complicated enough. Without, now you're my teammate. And oh, by the way, you're the most powerful guy in the sport that I also have chosen to play. And it's weird that, again, we haven't gotten to a point because people are so, you know, clutching their pearls about nepotism, which, again, is global. Idiots. Like, I think singling LeBron out for that is the most far-fetched. You just don't like LeBron. It's okay. Just tell me you don't like LeBron. But I do think, unintentionally, the downside is he's made it even harder to be Bronny James. I don't know how we don't at least have sympathy for that kid with that. 216-474-0092. Are you watching tonight's game? Cavs, Lakers. Are you hoping to see Bronny? I think it'd be a huge missed opportunity. Whether it's for every fan there, I guarantee you there are fans like me who want to see it because he is still a local kid and he deserves that moment in his son. Because it might, he's going to be in the G League, and who knows if he'll be back. When we come back, one final segment of the show on 92.3 The Fan.